Hello, and welcome to another episode of the LOD podcast series on career development. My name is Will Plaskonka, and I'm the manager of the Learning and Organizational Development Unit located in the HR department of the Knoxville campus. This career development series has four episodes covering the UT recruitment and application process, resumes, interviewing, and today's session, where we will talk about cover letters. We have podcasts available on a variety of topics, so please take advantage of these development opportunities on a date and time that is convenient for you. With us today is Brooke Swart, the executive recruiter here in our HR office. Well, thank you, Brooke, for joining us today to talk about the idea of cover letters and what those look like. I really appreciate you spending some time with us. I want to thank you for a couple of things. Number one is your participation in our resumes podcast. So if folks who are listening today haven't listened to and or accessed the resumes podcast, take a look at that. Brooke involved herself in that and provides some great expertise and some great comments and thoughts and some best practices around resumes. And now today, to kind of supplement that information, if maybe, and continue our work in this kind of career development series, Brooke is going to talk to us today about cover letters. So thank you, Brooke, for that prior time you spent with us, and thank you for your time and your investment in this particular session on cover letters. Also, we really value what you have to bring to the table and value what you share with us and with the folks who are listening. So as we get started, and for those of us who don't know who you are or haven't maybe listened to that resume podcast yet, tell us a little bit about yourself and kind of your role here at the university.
Sure. Well, thank you so much, Will. I really appreciate your invitation to participate in this. This is a passion of mine with regard to how people present themselves professionally. And I have been a recruiter for over, close to 25 years. And the last almost six years has been here at the University of Tennessee doing executive recruiting. Part of my role, or I'd say a big part of my role, is reviewing cover letters and resumes every day. And I'm fortunate to have the opportunity to work with search committees and get some feedback from them on what did the cover letter and the resume provide to them information wise that piqued their interest and wanted them to learn more about the candidates. So I really feel grateful that I have the opportunity to talk about a cover letter because it is such an important part of the overall applicant package. And so that is my passion is really the recruitment and I love what I do, and this supplements what I love by being able to hopefully give some people thoughts about cover letters. They're intimidating. It can be, but it doesn't have to be.
Okay. Thank you. Yeah. We're talking, and as we're doing with all these career development sessions, this is just another step in that, what that looks like, another element of that. So because you were involved so heavily in the resume section or the resume podcast, and we're working today towards cover letters, I guess as you describe what the purpose of a cover letter is for us at the onset, kind of makes a little distinction as well back to that resume without getting into obviously everything we talked about in the resume session, but kind of how do those differentiate from each other?
Sure. I can simplify that for you, Will. To me, your resume is your fact sheet. It's fact sheet that all ran together. And it gives the reader the facts about your experience. The cover letter is more your story and gives a little context around the facts and why you're there. The purpose is to have an opportunity to go beyond the facts and pique a hiring manager or a search committee's interest to learn more about what you can contribute to their team.
Thank you. Thank you. So as I hear you say that, and if I understand it better as well, this is that ability to kind of describe what the resume or get in deeper detail maybe about what the resume says.
Absolutely. It highlights your communication skills. You can bring your personality into it just a bit more. Whereas resumes are facts, this gives you the opportunity to put that context around what you've done. The introduction really should convey your interest and express excitement. Consider a sentence that maybe describes why. You know, why are you applying for this position? How does this organization's opportunity in, what is it about this organization's opportunity that interests you? The purpose of the cover letter is to complement your resume and not just repeat your qualifications. They can read that in the resume, that this is an opportunity to say something different. You're only going to highlight relevant stories that show your qualifications, and it's a chance to express that you'd like to bring your experience and acquired skills and tools to the organization or institution and make an impact. And so that is what a cover letter is about, is to make sure that you're able to say what you couldn't say on your resume, mm-hmm. or didn't say on your resume.
Sure. Okay. So you talked about that first paragraph being kind of that why you're interested. Is there like a suggested formula that, you know, we open with this, the middle goes to this, and then the end kind of goes to this? Is there anything like that?
Sure. Yes. And in fact, I have a few comments about the length and the parts of it, if you will. And people often will say, well, how long should it be? And that can be a little bit complicated. If it's too short, you know, they might glance over it. But if too long, they might glaze over it. and so it's hard to find that balance. But there's a few key elements that I suggest people consider including in it. And as referenced above, The first paragraph is express your excitement. And one comment that I've heard from folks in my search committees has been, you know, that cover letter just it didn't tell me why they were excited. It didn't excite me reading the cover letter. So just as I referenced momentarily or a few minutes ago, express your excitement to apply and how it connects with your goals, your passions. I highly recommend, as you would before you do an interview, is to research the company, learn more about them, and be able to say, this, your organization connects to my goals and passion based on my research of your company and the excellent work you do in blank. Mm-hmm. So I would suggest that being in your first paragraph, and generally 3 to 4 paragraphs is completely appropriate for the length of your cover letter. And so once you've done that and once you've introduced yourself, then you can go to the next paragraph and as I talked about a few minutes ago, highlight your relevant stories that show how you're well qualified. And you can reference something in your resume. It's not that you have to leave that off of there entirely. You can reference something and perhaps expand on it just a little bit. But what you want to do is, again, highlight your relevant stories that are going to show why you are well qualified and what you believe you can do for the position in the organization to add value and make an impact. Often you see resumes that are very, I've done this and this and this and this and this, and I'm going to be perfect for this position. And while that's all well and good, in today's market, perhaps being a little bit more personalized, I think a personalized cover letter is extremely critical for each position. And so be able to communicate what it is that you hope to contribute to the position and what kind of skills that you will bring with you in order to contribute and add value.
Okay. Yeah. Cool. I love to get that kind of, as you talk about that three, I guess beyond the excitement and the why and the goals that you introduce yourself with in the beginning of your cover letter, this moment to say, okay, here are my qualifications. And because mm-hmm. I've looked at your organization a little bit and I've seen what you're involved in this, and I have that excitement, this is what I can bring. And these are some of the impacts we can make together, as opposed to just, I will be perfect for your position.
Exactly. Because everybody will say that, not everybody, but you know, the vast majority of cover letters leave a lot to be desired with regard to the reader being excited about, oh, wow, this person really is passionate about this. And even if you choose to do a third paragraph, you go back to the research of the organization. It's important not only to be interested in the position, but be interested in what they do, you know, what they stand for. So often if you go online to different company websites, it's going to talk about their mission and their vision. And they, many times, if they have philanthropic activity, they talk about how they give back to their communities. They will often talk about their diversity and inclusion goals. Is that something that's important to you? And what do they say about that? The difference in company websites these days, they really are thinking about more than just, this is our business. It's more, this is who we are. So utilizing that resource is a very simple way to go in and think about, okay, gosh, this philanthropy is really important to me, or even if it's not the specific philanthropy, it's the fact that they that is important to them. So if that aligns with your values, if their diversity and inclusion message aligns with you, that's where you try to find or express the connection and what excites you beyond the position itself.
Mm-hmm. Is it fair to say this may be that moment where you can actually project yourself into that particular space and into that particular role to say, this is how I can, you know, make a difference. And this is why mm-hmm. I would be successful in your organization based on your goals, based on your values, based on your mission.
Mm-hmm. I do think so. And communicating that in a way that, you know, that would be, let me think for just a minute, because I'm just trying to think of an example that maybe I've seen or read myself. But for example, if they are a customer focused organization, then tying your own customer philosophy with their customer service philosophy, saying, you know, I believe, or I function and have my experience has taught me to function from a customer centric perspective. And it intrigues me that you are customer centric and that's a focal point of what you do. And for that reason, I believe that my skills might align well with what you need.
Mm-hmm. Great. Great. So as we continue down, as I see this, I'm looking at this visually in my mind. So I'm continuing down the cover letter now.
Sure.
The next part for me looks at that kind of that closing mm-hmm. moment. So how do we mm-hmm. how do we wrap that up appropriately? What's your suggestions?
Sure. I thought about this, and I think keeping a closing simple is really all you need to do. You know, you reiterate your interests. I always think about the time that they're taking to go through this. It's very time consuming to read a resume and a cover letter. And so acknowledge that, you know, thank you. I know this takes time from your busy schedule, and I really appreciate you carving out this time to review my information or my materials, and then let them know how they can reach you. And I can talk about format if you'd like me to, but I think that's just keeping it simple is what I would recommend.
Mm-hmm. Great. Well, touch just a bit, I guess, if you would, on format. Is there something specific you're thinking about right now that you'd say lean towards this, or maybe stay away from this?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yes. So I don't have a specific list, but some of the common feedback that I hear from hiring managers is they didn't walk away with a true sense of why this person wants the position. And like I said before, I've frequently heard that a cover letter seems it's all about what is in it for me rather than what I can bring to you. And, you know, for example, a line that I personally am not a big fan of is, this is a position that will help me be at the next step, the next level. And that can sometimes, it's easy to infer, or I've seen it inferred that, well, okay, well, if this is the next level for them, are they going to want to stay and dig deep? And it's not a matter of that being the case, because it may not be the case at all. It's just more of a mindset of, I'm focusing on the here and now, and this position is what interests me, not necessarily the title or the step up. Does that make sense?
Yeah, it certainly does. Because if we talk about, or if somebody candidate talks about their title progression, then mm-hmm. we're left to think, okay, here's this one. What's the next one you're going to be looking for?
Right, exactly. So a couple of things that I've noticed as far as maybe things that are considered outdated. So for example, dear sir / madam, that's outdated. It really doesn't reflect sensitivity to how the reader may self-identify. And so when I think about diversity and inclusion, and how important that is it, to me personally, and to a lot of people that I work with, consider just dear hiring manager or dear search committee, if you know there's a committee involved. And that just shows that, hey, I'm sensitive to you may not identify as a sir or a madam, you know. Another outdated is to whom it may concern. That's a little bit dated as well. So sometimes with public entities, it's a little bit easier to find the names of people that are perhaps the manager over the position. In private companies, it's a little bit more difficult. So if you know who it is that's hiring, send it to them. If you have the name, I often get letters addressed to me. Even though I'm not making a hiring decision, they're addressed to me because that's the contact that they see. So those are a couple of things. The other suggestion I have is, just like your resume's font being consistent throughout, make sure your font in your cover letter is consistent with the font in your resume. Be sure that your contact information is included. Often we have our contact information at the top of our resume. You can also mimic that at the top of your cover letter. There's not a problem to do that, or you could put it under your signature, but it's your personal preference. So I know those are small aspects of a format, so to speak. But when you think about the things that I just said, plus the number of paragraphs, 3 to 4 paragraphs, that's helpful. I do not recommend it being longer than a page. And I do recommend that there's enough space in there for it to be read with ease for the reader. And they don't have to search for what they're looking for. So clear and concise is important.
Yeah. I think you might almost consider, maybe if there's too much text in there, it becomes a distraction.
Yes.
And make it readable and easy. So yes. people aren't struggling. And I like the notion of, as you suggested, kind of mimicking to some degree the format of your, certainly the font within your mm-hmm. resume, mm-hmm. but maybe even some degree of formatting consistency as well. And at that point, it almost looks like a package. This is the package for this particular mm-hmm. person.
Yes, and another thing to include, something you said just when you said the word mimic, but when you're reading a job description, often you can get a feel for the formality or informality of communication from the company, how they communicate. So just keep that in mind as you construct your cover letter. And if comfortable, try and just speak to them in a way that their maybe their job description reads as well. I mean, obviously professional. It's just some are a lot more formal than others.
Mm-hmm. Very good. Is there some specific things you think about when you look at a cover letter? I guess, you know, part of it is that visual aspect, is making sure it looks good and it is easily readable. But then is there anything additional in the context of how do I make myself stand out? You know, how will my cover letter be remembered maybe more than somebody else's?
Show employers that you've done your research, that you understand, as far as the front facing, what they're talk, how they express themselves or how they describe themselves, that you've read that. And I can't stress enough the conveying the motivation behind your application and being able to make sure that they understand how your values align with their mission, their vision. Those things are important because then they know that you already have tried to learn as much as you can about them from the beginning before you even know anything else. And so it shows you've kind of done some work ahead of time. Mm-hmm. I have a line that I found, and I can't remember what website it was, but I really liked this, line because I think it can transfer outside of what it says, but it says, my past experience as a retail associate has given me the tools necessary to provide excellent customer service. I am very motivated to put these tools to use and further blank's goals. You know, that's simple. What it does is it gives this person really was able to put into words how their skills were transferable from a retail associate to a customer service position. Mm-hmm. Retail is customer service at the end of the day, or at least it should be, right? And so this, if somebody's a retail associate and they say, oh, I'd like to apply for a call center position. Well, that background, that the way that sentence was written really shows that they understand that these are transferable skills, and they're ready to put it to a different use.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. As far as somebody who reads that, and if I was on the reading side of that, I'd at least be able to infer this person gets it. They mm-hmm. get that these skills are transferable and usable in different areas, even though
sure.
the title of the position is completely, I'm not locking myself into one space, and I understand how these skills can be valuable to even some degree of difference in the context
yes.
of role and responsibility.
Yes. And that applies if you are, you know, thinking about when you write a cover letter, thinking about that throughout, not that you have to infuse it throughout, but as you construct and create your cover letter, excuse me, think about the transferable skills that you have and write your cover letter from that perspective if it is a different position than what you've done as far as a title is concerned, because we can all have different titles, but sometimes there are consistent elements throughout different positions that are going to have the same skill set in a lot of ways. Mm-hmm.
Gotcha. So I kind of, as I kind of think back on what we've talked about a little bit, is this is your opportunity to tell your story behind mm-hmm. the facts that are listed in your resume. This is your
exactly.
opportunity to let folks know that you've done some research and you've done some looking and you've investigated this potential employer and you're excited about the work they do and you can use your skills to help them and impact their world.
Ron, and you know, so when I go to, if I ever go to apply for a different job, I'm coming to you and I'm going to get your help because you worded it perfectly, Will. You know, you worded it perfectly. No, that's exactly, you said in 10 words what I could have said in 10 words, but I said it in 100.
Well, you're feeding me this information, so I appreciate that. And how do you And I think it's that moment that stand that will help you stand out as you look at some of those things. And if, one thing I want to suggest or draw back to is names and how you the salutation you use. If there is a contact listed somewhere within the job posting, you mm-hmm. could use that. If
yes.
if you specifically somehow happen to know who the hiring manager is, you could use that. But ultimately. Mm-hmm. Things like hiring manager, dear hiring manager, or dear search committee, some of those would be appropriate as well, because the last thing you would want to do is make a mistake and put the wrong mm-hmm. person's name on a
yes.
on a cover letter. Because then at that point, it's like the first step out of the gate, we've made an error and we're
right
and
it,
discounted.
You're right. I've received cover letters that just simply say dear sir, and I'm thinking, well, they don't know if I'm a sir, but I tried to go beyond that, but if that's your first impression that they're not sensitive, they haven't been sensitive to the reader, so to speak. I think it's important. You got to start it off on that first impression.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. You got to show them you've done a little bit of work on your side of it. And you're not just shooting cover letters out to anybody and everybody. You're just, yeah. you're looking at this one particular role. Okay.
Perfect. You perfectly yeah. stated.
So is there anything as we get ready or we think about closing up, is there anything lastly you'd like to share with us and just to say, hey, you know, remind me and Brooke, remind us what you think is so very important. We'll go ahead and say it again. That's no worries.
If I were to take all of this information and wrap it up nicely into a little package, My perspective, and this is Brooke's perspective, but I think it does reflect what we talked about today, is be yourself. I mean, make sure that you reveal yourself as much as you're comfortable from the perspective of these elements that we've discussed today. I believe that when it comes to a cover letter and an interview, be professional and be yourself because the more authentic that you can be, keeping it professional, of course, the more authentic that we can be, it's going to come across that they are going to be able to see that as they read the cover letter, whether or not someone's being authentic or versus a form letter where they've plugged in the name of the company and changed a few things. So that would be how I would close is to be authentic and do your research and make sure that when someone is reading your cover letter, that they get a sense of who you are. And as always, have someone proof it, have someone else read it. That's the name of the game for any kind of information that we want to send out that reflects who we are.
All right. Well, Brooke, thank you for your time.
Thanks for asking me.
Some great tips and some great thoughts to continue in any sort of career development search we're doing. And as we continue to look for opportunities, hopefully the folks who have been listening will take your advice and your information and incorporate that into the work they do around their own cover letter and how to really, as you say, stand out, how to be themselves and hopefully take that next step toward an interview in a job search process. So,
well, thank you, Will. It's always a pleasure to work with you, and I just appreciate you asking me to come on today. Thank you.
Well, you also. All right. You have a great day.
Thanks. You too. Go Vols.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Thank you for listening today to this LOD podcast on interviewing. Please take a listen to all of our episodes in this series on career development, including sessions on the UT recruitment and application process, resumes, and interviewing. This is Will Plaskonka, Manager of Learning and Organizational Development in the HR office of the Knoxville campus. Thank you for joining us, and have a great day.